May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn number 362. 362. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, "Come, let us seek our God today." Yes, with a cheerful zeal, we haste to Zion's hill, and there our vows and honours pay. Hymn 362.
Thank you. read together from two portions of the Word of God. First, from the book of Numbers, a few verses from chapter 21, and then also from the Gospel according to John, chapter 3. First reading from the book of Numbers, chapter 21. We'll read the first 8 verses. The first 9 verses, rather. And when King Arad the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, If thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel, delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. And he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. And against thee, pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. It came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Gospel according to John chapter 3. We'll read the first 17 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us. And may he teach us how to pray. Merciful, kind, gracious Lord our God, do help us to draw near to thee, the throne of grace, calling upon thy great and thy holy name. And yea, thou knowest, Lord, that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. It is through the merits and the person of thy dearly beloved Son, indeed, who came forth into this world to suffer, bleed, and die for sinners, to reconcile them unto God the Father, and hath now entered into the holiest of all, making a way for the poor and the needy, into the holiest of all. And Lord, we can come boldly, Lord, through the merits of thy dearly beloved Son, and we call upon thy name. We pray, Lord, for much needed help and grace as we gather together in thy name. But we also pray, Lord, for much humbling of our hearts before thee. Poor and contrite, Lord, we pray, and low at thy feet, Lord, waiting upon thee. O Lord, it is the poor and the needy, Lord of the land, that shall be brought to worship at thy feet. For, Lord, thou hast made them poor, Lord, and they're not poor by their nature, Lord, but by that new man of grace within. And we thank thee for the work of grace upon our souls. We thank thee, Lord, for that new birth that we have read. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast humbled us under thy mighty hand and brought us to see and feel our sins and iniquities. And they testified against us, Lord. They rendered us, Lord, indeed guilty. And Lord, it is our mercy that all the guilty and the ruined have a way and the blessing of salvation given to them. For the poor ones that have been brought to know their sin have also been brought needy, Lord, needy of thee, needy, Lord, that thou wilt come to our help. Needy, Lord, at this time as we gather together in thy name and wait upon thee. And we thank thee, Lord, that we are needy. And Lord, thou art a very present help in the time of our need. And we come to thee, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to impart unto us the graces of thy Spirit, and pray, Lord, that we may be drawn to thee in faith and in love, to serve thee and to worship thee at this time, true seekers of thy face, and brought to feel our need of thee once more, thy word and truth to uphold us and to sustain us in this our pilgrimage here below. And Lord, to grant to us continually that true worship in heart and in mind, and that worship, Lord, at thy feet and the means of grace. And we thank thee, Lord, that thou hast established a church here, the witness of the gospel is preached and proclaimed. O Lord, it is a wonder of thy grace. And Lord, we pray that we shall not despise the means, but be found at thy feet, Lord, to serve thee. And Lord, we come with all our needs, Lord, every one of us, Lord, that have come into the pews of thy house, all differing in our needs, our concerns, the things, Lord, that we have come into thy house with, the troubles, the burdens, the trials, and Lord, essentially have committed them at thy feet, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to appear, Lord, or that we seek and desire, Lord, some comfort and peace for our souls in the times of all our needs and concerns. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt appear and visit each soul, Lord, with a word in season, or that, Lord, thy word may be a savour of life unto life to our souls and cause our souls to live in a precious Christ and upon him. O Lord, we pray that thy word shall not be left to be a savour of death unto death to any, Lord, that are gathered here, Lord. Oh, be pleased to hear us, Lord. Lord, may it be, Lord, that thou wilt come to each one of us, that we might hear thy voice in the gospel, Lord, and what thou wilt be pleased to speak unto our poor souls. O Lord, come then, we pray thee, and may it be, Lord, that we shall again be raised up, Lord, above all these inferior things here below, the things of time and sense, Lord, and yea, the very things, Lord, that we are proper and lawful for us to do, Lord, and yet there is that need betimes to lay them all aside, Lord, and to appear before thee. Do, Lord, help us each then to serve thee, to worship thee at this time and this day, we pray thee. Oh, isn't this, Lord, the blessing that belongeth to thy poor people? This is the day that the Lord hath made. Oh, let us rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Oh, cause our souls to rejoice in thee, to rejoice in thy salvation, to rejoice in all that thou didst come to do for guilty, ruined sinners here below, Lord. Oh, may we be those, Lord, blessed this time with, Lord, a confirmation in our souls that what thou didst come to do for sinners in thy sufferings and death and resurrection for them, that it is that, Lord, that thou didst come to do for them for good, Lord. Confirm these things in our souls, that thou didst come personally for each one of us into this sin-cursed world, Lord, to suffer, bleed, and die for us, Lord. We ask it, Lord. Do, Lord, we pray thee, come then. May there be that word seasonable and good, edifying for our never-dying immortal souls, a word for our souls, Lord, to live and live upon a precious Christ. And so, Lord, come to each one of us, and may we be those favoured and blessed at this time, Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, appear and reveal and manifest thyself to us each, Lord, the eldest to the youngest, Lord. And Lord, we pray, grant us a token for good, something, Lord, that our poor souls can take from these earthly courts, we pray thee, and something that we can speak about, Lord, something that we can meditate over, Lord, and something, Lord, that may give to us, Lord, a token for good, that thou hast the words of eternal life, as thy servant Peter was brought to hear thy word. It seemed to be to him, Lord, that every word seemed to be a token of heaven and glory to his soul. Lord, may that be our mercy at this time. As we journey forth here below, something what thou hast done and wrought for us by and through thy grace, and something, Lord, that is recorded in our hearts, Lord, that can never be taken from us. Some testimony and witness, Lord, that thou didst suffer, bleed and die in our room and in our place to become our surety. Oh, Lord, we do pray, Lord, come to each one of us then, confirm us in our faith and love to thy name. And Lord, appear for the seekers, Lord. Oh, those that are seeking, Lord, for mercy and salvation. Oh, Lord, we do believe that we have read a portion indeed in thy word, which we do believe is encouraging to all poor seeking sinners, that whomsoever, or that those whomsoever's ear, Lord, whomsoever, Lord, oh Lord, we do pray, come in the riches of thy grace, Lord, confirm them, show them, Lord, their great salvation in a precious Christ. Lord, we commit them into thine ever merciful hands. Oh Lord, we do pray then, work graciously in the hearts of sinners, we pray thee. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt, Lord, be that one to have all the glory and the praise. Do, Lord, be with each one of us then, watch over us for good. Thou hast been pleased to bring us through the scenes of the week that is now past, Lord. May we not forget, Lord, all our mercies. May we not forget, Lord, thy tender care, watching over us and presiding over all our affairs and all our concerns as we are helped to commit them into thine ever merciful hands. And thou, Lord, who hast given to us that measure of health and strength, Lord, in body, Lord, naturally speaking, Lord, oh, it is according to thy will, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to then help us to glorify thy name. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. And so, Lord, our strength naturally at this time. O Lord, come and revive us inwardly and spiritually, Lord. Grant, Lord, that we might be strengthened with all might by the Spirit in the inner man, Lord. Revive the work of thine own hands, Lord. Pour out thy Spirit upon us and enlarge our hearts upon thy name, upon thy person, and all that thou didst come to do for sinners here below, and all that thou art now doing, ascended at the right hand of the Father to intercede, to be our great high priest above who ever liveth, to make intercession for us. O Lord, we wait upon thee, we come to thee for all our needs, for all our concerns, commit everything to thee. In our lives we pray thee, so Lord, helping us to continue. And we do pray, Lord, then, that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to look down upon us. The gospel is preached today, Lord. It holds good news of salvation. We are blessed with liberty to gather together in thy name in this nation of ours, and we thank thee for it, Lord. And we also pray, Lord, that the gospel may go forth, Lord, across this land of ours, and the services and those that gather together in thy name. We think, Lord, of those in our denomination, Lord. Be pleased, Lord, to appear for them, Lord, in the assemblies of thy people that wait upon thee, Lord, that look to thee for a word for their souls, Lord, a little reviving for their spirit, Lord, a little bringing near of Christ into our souls, we pray thee, to find, Lord, that union and fellowship with him, he who hath espoused us unto himself, and the mercy, Lord, of what it is to know that belonging to thee, that divine ownership, Lord. And my beloved is mine and I am his. And be pleased, Lord, to be with each of thy sent servants, Lord. Those whom thou hast thrust forth upon the walls of Zion to preach thine everlasting gospel, Lord. Give them mouth and wisdom, Lord, and liberty, Lord, to preach thine everlasting gospel, to stand forth upon the walls of Zion. And, Lord, may they comfort Zion. May they become to the needs of thy poor people, Lord, we pray thee. And may the word be made precious to their souls. And may Christ be revealed to be their all and in all. That one only, Lord, that can bring thy people through their course, both in a temporal and also most spiritual way. And, Lord, to live by faith upon thee and to serve thee in our day and generation. Comfort then, Zion, comfort the afflicted, the tried, the tempted, the infirm, the sick, Lord, the fatherless and the widow, each and every one, Lord. Come to them, Lord, show to them that the very hairs of their head are all numbered, Lord, and thou dost know everything about them, Lord, and art intimately acquainted with every one of them, Lord, and thy love is always upon them. Show them that, Lord, that it is a love, an everlasting love. Comfort their souls, Lord, in their infirmities. Bless them, Lord, we pray thee, if it will be thy gracious will, and show to them that the eternal God is their refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms, Lord. Oh, those arms that will bring thy poor people through their course. Oh, Lord, we do pray. Strengthen their hearts, Lord, with such glorious promises. And, Lord, thou hast brought us each thus far, Lord. And, Lord, is it not true? Thou wilt bring us all our journey through. Thou wilt bring us to the end, Lord. It is consistent with thy love. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. O Lord, be with thy people then, and those in our homes, Lord. And watch over them, Lord, be with them and keep them, Lord. And be the upholder of their souls, Lord. And grant them those visits, Lord, those love visits, those tokens for good for their souls. But show to them, Lord, the promise that thou wilt not break the bruised reed, nor quench the smoking flax. No, thou wilt appear, Lord, to comfort thy people. And so, Lord, visit them. The word is true, Lord, that thou wilt not leave them comfortless. I will come unto you. Come, Lord, now we pray thee, and help us to worship at thy feet. Help thy servant to speak in thy name, Lord. And through thy Spirit, lead and teach him. And the Spirit to open the hearts of each of thy people also, Lord, to hear and to receive thy word, mixed with faith, Lord. And may a precious Christ be revealed to each one of us. And we do pray, Lord, that we may each, under the blessing, Lord, of the word, glorify thee, we pray thee. Pardon and forgive our every sin, we ask it, in that all precious name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 53, 5-3. This is the word of truth and love, sent to the nations from above. Jehovah here resolves to show what his almighty grace can do. Hymn number 53.
help of Thee, Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw Your attention to the Gospel according to John chapter 3. And we will read from verse 14 and 15. Gospel according to John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It is a wonderful mercy to be able to read the Word of God and to see ourselves placed in that Word, see ourselves written into it through the Spirit of the Lord, because our souls have a belonging in it, and it's a belonging in Christ, isn't it, really? The Lord Jesus knew who these whosoevers would be, and we do want an interest in the Word, that whosoever, just pray that the Lord may help me to open up one or two truths, and we may be helped also to see whether indeed we are one of those and whom God loved with an everlasting love, because those whom he loved, he so loved the world that whosoever believeth in his dearly beloved Son should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, first we have this truth, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, just a few thoughts in respect of the words that we read together, and that Moses did indeed lift up the serpent in the wilderness. But let us just see one or two thoughts in respect of it. It was a time and a season that the children of Israel, they'd understood, experienced so many great deliverances by the Lord against all their enemies. The Lord was always on the side of his people, and how that they did conquer and overcome. And it is a truth indeed that the children of Israel being brought thus far here in the wilderness, how that the Lord had appeared for them great in his power. And he's that one in the midst of them. They'd seen his power, they'd seen how that the Lord had overcome all their enemies. Poor, weak Israel here, but the Lord overcame them. And then they came to a time of complaining, murmuring against God and against Moses. They were really a people stiff-necked. One moment they would see the great power of God in the midst of them, another moment they'd be complaining against him. How solemn it is to have such a mind as to believe that God was going to leave them in the wilderness to starve and to hunger. But the Lord heard their complaining, he saw their complaining, and he sees ours, dear friends. May we never be brought to complain and to stand against God. He has done so much for us up to this moment of time, hasn't he? Isn't it God that has brought us thus far? Isn't it he that has kept us and preserved us, dear friends? Isn't it he that has watched over us in all our way and path? Isn't it him that has appeared for us in our troubles and trials and difficulties here below? Isn't it he that has brought us through? Could we ever really complain? Very solemnly here, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Let us never, dear friends, stand against God, murmur, complain. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned." It is a mercy, dear friends, that what the Lord had done here in respect of the serpents coming, biting them, those whose lives were taken, that they were brought to see and feel that they had sinned against God and against Moses. It is a mercy, dear friends, if the Lord will bring us to this place. That he might bring us to see and feel our sins and iniquities. That we have sinned and offended against him. Sins in our lives, heart sins. Sins in the vanity of our minds, vain thoughts, imaginations. The Lord has seen them all. And dear friends, what a mercy it is that the Spirit of the Lord come upon us and render us guilty in respect of our sins and iniquities. They were brought to see that they had sinned. Have we been brought to see that we have sinned, dear friends, against a holy and a righteous God? That our very fallen nature stands against him? It is a solemn thing, dear friends, to go on in our lives day by day, never to know and to feel our sins and iniquities, that they're hidden within us, dear friends. It's only the Lord that can bring them to the light of conscience. Only the Lord can bring us in, self-condemned and abhorred. "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee." Dear friends, I pray that not one of us shall speak against the Lord. "That he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the Lord. They prayed that Moses would pray to them. It's only in the previous chapter, you know, that Moses, they complained again. They wanted water, you see, and Moses was bidden to speak to the rock. But Moses struck the rock twice. They'd provoked him. And Moses, the meekest man that ever lived, you see, and yet they'd provoked him. They stood against him, against God and Moses again, and against Aaron. And then Moses, because he hadn't sanctified the Lord in the midst of the people, it was that one denied to go into the land of their inheritance. All those many years in the wilderness and taking the children of Israel through being a true servant of the Lord, and also receiving at the hand of the children of Israel their awful nature, how they stood against Moses, but it was not permitted to go into the land. And now they've asked him here again, pray for us. Can we see that meek and lowly nature of Moses? Always standing against him, and yet forbidden also to go into the land of their inheritance by the Lord. And yet see here, dear friends, this is a lesson for us. He didn't hold anything against them, did he? No, he didn't. And dear friends, let us know that nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us know what it is to be more like unto him. We have to ask and pray about it. We have to come to him, dear friends. I know that there's many stood against me, and they have. And the Lord's people have stood against me. But all I could do was pray for them. Dear friends, let us learn this. Let us be under this grace. Moses prayed for the people. And what did they pray? They said, take away the serpents from us. But he didn't take away the serpents from them. We must be careful how we pray to the Lord. It wasn't in his will. We have to say that. If it be thy will. On this account it wasn't. Because there was going to be a greater witness of this occasion here, revealed and made manifest. A greater witness. We've read of it in the Gospel of John chapter 3. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man, dear friends, must be lifted up. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And it was lifted up so much on the pole, dear friends. Can you imagine the great mass of the children of Israel, that great congregation of people spread abroad, lifted up, so that everyone could behold and see that serpent. How terrible it would have been, dear friends, if there were some that couldn't see that serpent, and the serpent bit them and took their lives. But they looked up. What was it, dear friends? And there were those that were bitten. They looked up. It was their faith in the word of the Lord that Moses gave. It was God's word that if they looked upon that brazen serpent, they would not die, dear friends. They were to look upon it. These serpents, as I understand them, they were sort of a type in Arabia. And their venom was instant. The moment that they bit, then the victim died. And it said that even before pain could come into the body, that they died. And so there must be a looking up. And wasn't it their faith in the word of the Lord that if they looked up, and yes, they looked up, and even those dear friends that were bitten. You see how I saw this, you know, dear friends. that he wasn't going to take away the serpents from the midst of them. No. And I thought of it in this way, that if it was going to be typical of this truth and blessing of the Lord Jesus, that he should also be raised up, then one thing, when the Lord has come in his rich mercy, pardoned and forgiven a sinner, it wasn't that that old nature was taken away from us, was it? Oh, we've still got that old nature, a nature that still that can sin. And that nature that will be a trouble to us and a burden to us all our days. And I just saw that, dear friends, in this truth, that the Lord wasn't going to take those serpents away immediately. You see? No. If you see it in this truth, if those serpents had all been taken away, first there would have been none of the type shown here in respect of Jesus and his sufferings and death at the cross for his people. But you see that they were to go on forth. And if they were bitten, then they were to look up. And dear friends, those that have been saved today and through the precious blood of Jesus, isn't it this truth that sin is still a burden to us, still a trouble to us? And isn't there still that of looking up and coming to Jesus over our sins and iniquities? That is the mercy, isn't it? Jesus, you know, it wasn't... you see, in the will and the mind and the purpose of our God to take away and dispense of our sin completely and wholly, although we come to this glorious truth that Jesus, when he suffered, bled and died for us, he died, dear friends, and this truth for our sins past, present and to come. That is the mercy, isn't it? Heart sins still, dear friends, to come. Let us come to the Gospel of John. We will still be brought daily to know and to feel our need of a Saviour to cleanse, to heal. The Lord knows that we wouldn't sin and offend against him. But dear friends, we have this, you know, when we think of this serpent here, think of it in the beginning. It was a serpent there, wasn't it? Satan, the serpent, in all his craft and guile, how that he cheated, as it were, came into the hearts of our first parents. And they were those, dear friends, that did eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then, dear friends, they died. Oh, they died. Oh, they were banished from the Garden of Eden. They'd transgressed against the word of God. And we're still troubled with this serpent today, aren't we? Yes, this is the mercy. We're still troubled with sin today, but the Lord is that one that overcame that serpent. And now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this is the way that it was done, isn't it? Jesus lifted up. We know that it was by those wicked hands and so forth. But dear friends, he was lifted up. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so, must. What is there in this must? Well, there's quite a few things to see here. Dear friends, must be lifted up. First of all, dear friends, it was in this truth that he was to fulfill prophecy concerning him. And that the Lord Jesus did. I believe that this would be perhaps a word that he spoke to those two on the Emmaus Road. Isn't it to those that the Lord Jesus spake, ought not the Son of Man to suffer and to enter into his glory? Ought not? He must. First we have this, haven't we? This must. He came forth, dear friends, according to the will and the purpose and the grace of his heavenly Father. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. We must remember that in all these words that the Lord Jesus speaks, in the path that he walked out below here, dear friends, what is a blessing in respect of that? It's this, that the church were all laid up in the heart of his love. His heavenly Father's will, what was it? Well, he loved a people with an everlasting love. It was here that there was the fulfillment of the sure mercies of David, David's greatest son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it he, dear friends, that came into this world and Jesus spoke that word in and this truth, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all that he hath given me I should lose nothing and raise him up at the last day. In other words, to fulfill this word here. As Moses was lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must. And the word means it behoved him. And it did. And we may just see it in this truth. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The Son of Man, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, didn't it? Oh, that he should come in the nature of the brethren. And that is the wonderful mercy, isn't it? I'll just go to Hebrews chapter 2, because it is a truth that is shown to us. He came in our nature. It must be one that must suffer in our nature. One truly in our nature, body and soul together. And he was a real man. Except sin. He was holy. He was pure. He was true and righteous. But, dear friends, this is one of the mysteries of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. He took upon our nature into union with his divine nature to suffer, bleed and die for his people, you see. And this is the wonderful truth. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren. See this great condescension of Jesus to come down from heaven to cast, as it were, put aside his glory and to come condescend to come just where we were, dead in trespasses and in sins, far from God. Condescended and to come in our nature and to suffer, dear friends, all the afflictions of our nature and so forth. But they were holy afflictions and so forth, infirmities. Then this wonderful truth. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Oh, this word must then. And then, isn't there something here most precious? Even the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever. These are the ones who Jesus knew. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his. And these are all here contained in this word, that whosoever. This is the whole church here. And it shows to us clearly that they shall all be drawn to Christ. They shall all be drawn to this precious place, Calvary. Oh, this is the place where Christ was lifted up. And this is the place, dear friends, where all will see him. They will be brought through the Spirit of the Lord. And though it was in a literal sense with the children of Israel, this is in a spiritual application of it. And the glory of it, dear friends, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon each and every one of these whomsoever ones. Oh, dear friends, the Lord will meet with them. This is the glory of the covenant of God's grace, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Father's everlasting love held out upon and towards his people. And it is an everlasting love. And so that love should never change or never alter, which it cannot. It was here that the church were given into the hands of Jesus, his dearly beloved Son. Now, dear friends, the delights of the Lord Jesus were indeed upon his people from everlasting. And everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him. Oh, he knew them so clearly and plainly, and he loved them then. Oh, there was no uncertainty about this. This whomsoever, not one of them are going to be passed by. No, the Lord is that one that will go out and forth as the shepherd seeketh his sheep, as it were, in the wilderness to find them out. It was just something that came on my mind, this. I know that it was something which would be true in respect of all these whomsoever ones. And it says, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and the dark day. Well, there's some here being gathered, dear friends, and they were scattered. They were scattered in their minds and in their lives here below. They were sinners, but Jesus found them out. And he will not pass by any one of them. No. Are we seeking? Are we looking for this mercy? This is mercy in the Christ here. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, everyone whom his heavenly Father gave to him, and the Holy Spirit, dear friends, it's the Holy Spirit always knowing the holy mind and the will of God, the Holy Spirit. And in that due time, he will meet with every one of his people. He will go forth wherever they're scattered. He will find them out. He will stop them in their mad career, as he did Saul of Tarsus. Oh, dear friends, there's nothing failing here. It's to the comfort of our souls. I've thought of these things so many times. You know, I got up the other morning, dear friends, and the Lord, I was so blessed in my soul. He led me through one scripture and another that related so much to me, dear friends, whilst I was a sinner in this world. And I just had to praise and bless him. Dear friends, why should he come to me and leave so many others? Why? I was no better, dear friends. I was probably worse. It just melted my poor heart, dear friends. The Lord does visit. He does still come in his salvation to our poor souls. He does give us a little reviving at times, that whosoever, these whosoevers then, they will come to believe. They will come to believe. It's a believing faith. You know, the children of Israel, they had that believing faith in the word of the Lord, that if they got bitten and they looked up, that they would be restored, dear friends. And their faith was in the word. And there's a word here. What a good word it is. That whosoever believeth in him, believeth. You know, this is that believing faith. You know, when the Lord will meet with us, he will teach us our sinnership. It's the Spirit's work to convince and convict of sin. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon us. The Spirit of the Lord will fulfill, dear friends, the word, the salvation that should come to sinners. The Holy Spirit will begin that work. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He will complete it. And here, in this wonderful word here, believeth in him, they are blessed, dear friends, with the Holy Spirit to afflict them and to trouble them and to burden them over their sins and iniquities. And how many times, dear friends, the Lord's people will thank the Lord for this affliction, for this trouble, for this burden. And they will be blessed with two graces, dear friends. Once the Spirit of the Lord has charged our sins upon our consciences, then, dear friends, we will be brought to mourn and to sorrow over our sins and iniquities. It follows. It's the work of grace in and upon the soul of a sinner to change that sinner. But there will be two blessings, two gifts given to them: repentance and faith. Now, salvation comes to his people. The salvation alone is through Jesus. These are those gifts, dear friends, to accompany, to bring that sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we're blessed with that true repentance, it comes from Jesus. He is a Prince and a Saviour. For to give forgiveness to Israel and the forgiveness of sins, this is the blessing, to forgive sins. And then that faith to look to Jesus, that believing faith in him. And when we have been brought and laid low, dear friends, to plead our cause at the mercy seat, to plead for pardon and forgiveness, to plead for mercy. Then, dear friends, this faith is to look toward the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to look to him, just as the children of Israel, by the faith in God's word, they looked up to that serpent, that brazen serpent, and they lived. And dear friends, if our faith will draw us to Jesus, as he is found here upon the cross at Calvary, it's a faith in him whom God hath sent. And it's particularly that we should look by faith and see him in our room and place. When the Spirit has convicted us of our sins and we've been rendered guilty, dear friends, we're to look up to Jesus by faith and see him in our room and place, because there is our peace and pardon through his sufferings, through his precious blood that he shed for sinners. And this is the blessing. Oh, if the Lord has troubled us and burdened us with our sins, dear friends, has he given us this faith to look to Jesus? Well, this faith, what is there in this faith? Looking to Jesus, there is this forgiveness of sins. Just as the children of Israel looked upon that serpent, that brazen serpent, it was there, dear friends, that their soul lived. And if we look upon Jesus, it will indeed bring our souls to live. Yes, this is he. This is he that came to be found in my room and place at Calvary. This is he. Oh, this is he, to look to him. It's by faith, dear friends. Some people, you know, they seem to think that they've got to come into such a great long and exercise in respect of their faith in the Lord Jesus. But dear friends, when the Lord came to me and showed me my sins and iniquities, it was Christ and Christ alone that I was looking to. And it was faith in him. And he came to me and showed me that I was a pardoned sinner. And it was through that life that he laid down. I'll show you the word, dear friends, and you'll see a likeness in it of what I'm saying, I think. In John 6 and verse 51, this is the word where Jesus showed me that he suffered, bled, and died for me. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And he showed to me that he had given his life, this flesh, his life, for my sins and iniquities. And it was for the life of the world. And it was for my life. He gave his life a ransom for me. Dear friends, this is the wonderful mercy. It's faith in him. Faith in him. And what is the blessing that follows? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. It means to be, should not be destroyed, should not be lost. You see, well, that broad way is the broad way of destruction, isn't it? Destroyed. To left, be left in that way. It is everlasting destruction, isn't it? Should not perish. And it is solemn, isn't it? This word perish. It is, dear friends, the solemn truth of being left to be destroyed, to be left that we should go forth into the pit of destruction, to the pit of the damned. And it is solemn. That they should not perish. And that is what Jesus said. And this is the will of him that sent me, that all that he hath given me should not perish. And this is the mercy. I have thought sometimes of the solemn end that comes upon those that are lost, those that never know Christ, those that are dead in trespasses and in sins, those that live and pass through this earthly scene, never know Christ to be a saviour and a redeemer, to hang and suffer upon a tree for sinners. This is the mercy that belongs, dear friends, to these whomsoever. They're separated. They're God's people. They're changed and renewed by grace. The Spirit of the Lord dwells in them. His word dwells in them. And they have faith in him. And this is the mercy. But shall have eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is everlasting life through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a mercy then to be one of these whomsoever. Did Jesus come to save thy soul, my soul? Did he come to deliver thee, translate thee from the broad way of destruction, to gather thee into the narrow way that leadeth unto life? Is he that one, dear friends, that through his finished work, these whomsoever ones have got this pure and precious token in their souls, the witness that Christ suffered for them upon the cross at Calvary? Why, how do we know? All our sins went from us. Our sins, dear friends, went from us. The serpents, dear friends, the bite of the serpent, the venom, dear friends, didn't take their lives. No, they lived. And dear friends, sin will never take our lives. No, because Jesus suffered, bled and died for every last sin upon the cross at Calvary. And here is our mercy. It's a way to heaven and to glory through his cross. And eternal life is the most happy, most glorious life. I know that I haven't come into it. But dear friends, the spirits of just men that are perfect, they're in pure happiness, pure joy, pure peace. And it will be everlasting joy. It will be, dear friends, a happiness that will never decline. No, it will never decline. We shall see him. We shall see him as he is. The Lord Jesus, an old saint, Moses, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Oh, he had, dear friends, he was well taught, wasn't he? He was spirit taught. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand upon the earth in the latter day, and he's coming. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Ince will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service, and Sunday school will be at Bethany at 2:30 this afternoon. Tomorrow evening there'll be a prayer meeting at 7 o'clock with an address by Mr. Adrian Pickett, to be followed by a church meeting to confirm the new trustees. On Friday evening, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach for us, and next Lord's Day, Mr. Jabez Rutt. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for the FGEA. Our closing hymn is number 964. 964. If to thee I breathe my prayer, Lord, wilt thou not deign to hear? Shall I seek but seek in vain? Shall I ask and not obtain? Hymn 964.
Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and for ever. Amen.